You have come across in your walk with the Lord, have come to a place in your life where you've refused to listen to it. So then you shared the gospel with the family member that you've been trying to, your heart desire is for them to come to know the Lord, and they continue year after year to shut the door on Christ, who wants them as also in salvation, but they still continue to choose not to accept Christ. Or you've had a good close friend, and you just know that how much Jesus would change their lives if they would just receive, but they continue to push him away. And you get to a point where you're not sure if you want to share Christ because you're afraid they're going to push you away to the point where they want to no longer be friends, or they feel like you're browbeating them because of the Christianity. And have you heard, so you don't want to lose that relationship. And sometimes we hear people say, don't talk to me about politics and religion. We have all been in these conversations, and some of you have even been in a conversation with someone where you know the Holy Spirit's been working. You can sense the Holy Spirit working. You are sharing the gospel with someone. You know right there that the Lord is working on them, yet they still push God away. Well, I want to tell you today, we're going to talk about why that happens, because sometimes it can be very struggling. It's very hard sometimes to work with that. It's hard sometimes when we love someone so much. We like someone. They're good friends with us. We feel the Holy Spirit calling us to share the gospel with someone, yet they continue to turn us away. They turn us away, but in fact, really, they're not turning us away. They are turning Christ away. And so we're going to look at this in 2 Corinthians. We want to look at this. Why is this happening, and how is it happening, and what do we do with it? Because I have loved ones right now that do not know the Lord. They do not have Christ in their life. They do not have a relationship with Christ. They're still separated from God. They are what the Bible would call lost. And I have people that I know that are lost. And I'm probably not the only one in the room today that you have people that do not know who Christ is. They may know about Jesus. They may know about things of the Bible, but they do not know him. They know him here. What means they know things. They got some knowledge. Sometimes they may come to a service and they're moved by their heart, by emotion. But in their inner being, in themselves, that soul peace, that inner peace, in their spirit, they do not know him. So we're going to pick it up here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And as we get ready to go there, go ahead and turn there, and we're going to begin. But I want to pray for a moment. Father, Lord, we ask that you would just open our hearts today, that our hearts not be hard for the believer and for the lost today. We pray, Father, Lord, that we may receive your word, that it may pierce our hearts. No man can preach your word without the Holy Spirit. I pray, Father, your Holy Spirit would have its way this morning with all of us today. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Paul is writing this letter to the Corinthians in his second letter here. In chapter 3, we break it down into chapters here, but we put it in we're going to start in verse 7, this new covenant from the law to this gospel piece. He says, now if the ministry in verse 7 that brought death chiseled in the letters on stone, that would be the law, came with glory so that the Israelites were not able to gaze steadily at Moses' face because of its glory, which was set aside, how will ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry that brought condemnation had glory, the ministry that brings righteousness overflows with even more glory. In fact, what had been glorious is not glorious now by comparison because of the glory that surpasses it. For it was set aside. For what was set aside was glorious. What endures will be even more glorious. So as the law is set aside, this gospel piece is even more glorious. And here it is, the Israelites struggle with it. Moses came off the mountain and his face was shining. So it's the glory and radiance of the Lord, just being in the presence of God. And they couldn't take it, so they had to veil his face. And it was amazing to be in a moment with God like that? How was the last time that you had a moment? Your face may have not been the glowing, but inside your spirit was glowing. When's the last time when you just felt that Holy Spirit in an amazing way that you just say, I know right now this is of the Lord? And so we see that peace there, and we see that it could happen with the law, but it was pushed, it was set aside to bring in something more glorious. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So for what was set aside was glorious, being the law, and what endures will even more glorious. That is the gospel. But here it is. We're talking about lost people. We're talking about why they're not, why they don't heed, take heed to your words. Because here's what I hear with a lot of people. A lot of people say this: I don't know how to lead someone to Christ. I don't know how to share someone to Christ. We'll talk about that as well. Verse 12. Since then we have such a hope. We have such a hope. We act with great boldness. We are not like Moses. Okay? We are not like Moses. So here's the thing. Salvation is this everlasting glory. It's a radiance. Okay? And so he says, we're not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from gazing steadily until the end of the glory of what had been set aside. He says, but their minds were hardened, for to this day, on the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remains. It is not lifted, because it is set aside only in Christ. Yet still today, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. So there is this veil. This is this veil that would protect Moses, not protect Moses, but protect the people from seeing. But his face was so as glory radiant. And that is like the gospel. So the people that they would follow the law but didn't want to switch to the law and accept God's gift of salvation through Christ. So their hearts were veiled. And it was covered, and they couldn't see past it, and they struggled with it. And so this veil still covers people today. It still covers people today. Every lost person has a veil over their face, not because of the glorious of God, but because they don't want to receive what God has for them. So they have a veil over their hearts. And so we want to share the gospel with them. And we're going to continue on here. He says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom. There is freedom, but freedom only comes through Christ. He said this. He says, the veil is there, but it can only be removed. He says, yet still today. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. It is removed. Okay? And then there is freedom. When you came to Christ, when you were lost and you came to Christ, you may not understood everything, but you've now become a free. You have that freedom, and you are free. You're not under the bondage of sin, even though we still sin, and we still do things we shouldn't do before the Lord, but God forgives us. We seek the forgiveness, 1 John 1:9 there. If we confess with our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. We know that we're still going to sin, but here it is. We are not in bondage to that sin. And so he says, we are all unveiled. We all with unveiled faces. Today, I do not have a veil over my face. Not because I don't want one, not because I want one. It's because Jesus Christ removed that veil. Okay? And so there is a shine in your life. Have you noticed that when you are a believer in Christ, you are to live out the life that God calls you to live. The Holy Spirit dwells inside of you, and it moves, and it works inside of you for the works of the Lord. When we fight that, we struggle with that. And so we see that God does discipline those whom he loves. So when we get out of line, God does discipline. But we see the peace here that God wants to use us. And we are unveiled. We have that freedom. We are not in bondage. So that works against what the world is going, what's happening in the world. And so he says, with all and unveiled faces are looking as in a mirror. We look as in a mirror. The glory of the Lord and are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory. This is from the Lord who is the Spirit. So when we look in the mirror, honestly, we should be looking different than the way the world looks in it. If we was to look in the mirror today, we'd all look and say, make sure my hair is right. You did that this morning. Make sure you brush your teeth. Make sure nothing's If you got to shave, you got to shave. We do that. But we as believers can look in the mirror in a different way as well. Not just the physical, but the spiritual. Look in the mirror and say, am I being the man that God wants me to be? Am I doing what God wants me to do? Now, we may not do it in front of a physical mirror, but we are talking to the Lord about that. Lord, what is it that you want me to do? How am I supposed to handle this situation in my life? What is so there's a mirror image. What are we doing? That is the Lord working in us because we have freedom. We have freedom with the Holy Spirit. We have that. And it says that this is from the Lord who is the Spirit. So the Lord is working in us. And that's because that veil now, once we become a believer, that veil is removed and we receive Christ, have that salvation. But this is where we want to camp out for the rest of the time. Chapter 4, very next verse. Verse 1. He says, now therefore, so we talked about this previous stuff. Now he says, now, what do we do? Now what do we do? He says, therefore, since we have this ministry, it is a ministry. For Paul and them, it was the ministry, was to go out and share the gospel. But do you know, every one of us have that every day. We are supposed to go out and live out the gospel. Jesus made a change in my life. I am to go out and live that change every day. I am to go out and look different than the world every day. So he says, therefore, since we have this ministry, because we were shown mercy, because we didn't do the salvation on ourselves, did we? The Lord did. God gave us mercy through Christ, right, for salvation. And here it is. He says this, we do not give up. We do not give up. Paul said, we do not give up. We're sharing the gospel from this town to this village to this place to this person. We do not give up. They say no, they say no, they say no. We're going to keep sharing the gospel because the world fights against the things of God. The world and God clash. The flesh and the spirit clash. He said, instead, we renounce secret and shameful things, not acting deceitfully or distorting the word of God, but commending ourselves before God to everyone's conscience by an open display of the truth. They're going to live it out. That's what they're saying. We're going to live it out. And we're not going to shy from it. We have renounced secret and shameful things. Listen, what you do, they're going to preach the word. They're going to preach the gospel. They're going to preach the truth of the Bible. And they're not going to be ashamed of it. They're not going to walk away from it. And they're not going to accept it. There are churches that have accepted lifestyles that are unbiblical and saying it's okay because the world says that's where we need to go. No, we don't know. It's not where the world wants us to go. It's where the Lord is leading us to go. And His word is still the same. It's still just as powerful and truthful as it was yesterday as it's going to be today. And when you pass on, if you don't make it till next week, God's word will still be strong next week. It will be strong. And it will still be the same truth. But he says, we don't give up. We don't give up. This is where we need to understand that we don't give up either. That uncle that you got that doesn't know the Lord, you don't give up. Even if you're 12 years old and they're 65 years old and you call him grandpa, I'm going to tell you. You don't give up. You do not give up. You pray. You keep doing what you got to do. And you keep praying. You keep speaking. And you keep living. How do you do it? One, you open your mouth and you share the gospel. Number two, you open your mouth again, but you share it with the Lord. Lord, this person I love, I love them. They're good friends of mine. Or someone that the Lord just puts on your heart, or someone that you just met, and they know you know that they have rejected the gospel. You put them on your prayer list, and you pray for them. So one, you open your mouth, and you share the gospel with people. Number two, you open your mouth, and you pray to God about that person who needs to come to Christ. And number three, you live it out. You live out what you're trying to share with everyone else. And I promise you, through the word, you're going to see people come to Christ. Amen? You will see people come to Christ. The problem is we're afraid to share. We're afraid to share the gospel. Here it is. One, we should not be afraid to share the gospel because we have the gospel. Is the gospel changed your life? It should. Yes, it should. If you don't, yeah, it should. Listen, sharing the gospel is sharing this. I am a sinner. Man, let me just tell you. My life has changed. I know, I can tell. How's it changed? You look different than you used to. Because listen, I lived my life the way that I thought I was doing my thing, but there was something missing. And you look like something's missing in you too. And somebody shared this thing with me, and they called it the gospel. It's Jesus Christ. And what God, how much God loves, he just loved the world. And men were sinners. And I began to share with people when I did. I was like, listen, have you done anything wrong? Yep, I have too, so we're sinners. Even sinners will call themselves sinners. You know that? Sinners will call themselves sinners. because people just know we've all done something wrong. What do we do with that? Well, that's, God has a great plan for that. You see, he sent his son to die for you and I because we just couldn't take care of it. And you shared a little bit of that. You know that story when Jesus was on the cross? Yeah, that was for you and me, man. Now, when he went on there, he gave his life because he did not sin, but he went because God loves us so much. And because Jesus went up on that cross, he gave his life. They didn't take it. He gave it freely so that we might live free and have freedom. And on that cross, he was thinking of all those people who were all the people in the future, all of us. How can that be? How can God do that? Well, listen, God can do more than we can ever imagine. Let's focus on you. You have an opportunity today to change your life. And I begin to share. And God's Spirit will bring in avenues of things. And then eventually at the end, if they want to receive Christ, you would say something like, listen, people will usually say, I don't know how. Well, of course you don't know how. How does a man come to God? How does a man come to Christ? We're sinners and we're filthy, and we want to come to the living God, the Savior. How does a person even do that? Well, Jesus just wants you to come as you are because you're not going to get any cleaner on your own. You just come with your mess, and that's what he wants to deal with. The heart first. All the other stuff that we get upset with, all the other things we get upset with, God can handle those. But it's here. It's this. It's the person. And I begin to share, listen, will you admit that you're a sinner? Admit that you're a sinner, that you need God, that you believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that he came and died for all mankind, including you and me, that if we call upon the name of the Lord, we shall be saved. And we confess with our mouth that he is the Son of God, that we are sinners, that we want him to be now Lord of our life. We give the life that he gave to us, we give it back. Lord, I'm now yours. And then I would usually pray with them for a minute, and then I'd give them an opportunity to pray. And everybody prays differently in the end. Everybody prays differently to the end. And then I say, do you believe right now that what you said was true? Yeah, I believe everything that we talked about was true. You believe that what you prayed for, that God heard? Yes, yes. Well, upon your own profession of faith and your own words, and by the Bible, we know that you have a relationship with Christ today. Now you have salvation. You are now saved. You have that peace. And the veil is removed. And you begin to see differently. And your mind and your heart begins to pump a little bit lighter with more joy in it. Because God is good at what he does. God is great at what he does. But we still struggle and we wonder why. How come Aunt June doesn't come to the Lord? How come my brother doesn't come to the Lord? How come my sister, how come my son or my daughter doesn't come to the Lord? How come my husband or spouse, my wife won't come to the Lord? How come my friend won't come to the Lord? Let's see. Instead we renounce these things. But he goes in verse 3. He says, but if our gospel is veiled, he says, when I go to someone and I share the gospel, if it is veiled in front of them, it isn't what you're doing. You're not going to mess it up. You're not going to mess it up. Listen, you'll say things that you didn't even know what you're doing. The Holy Spirit knows how to work through you if you let it. He knows what to put in your mind. But he says, if our gospel is veiled, he says this, it is veiled to those who are perishing. So when I share the gospel with you today, those of you that are believers, you understand and know what I'm saying. It's going right in. You're filtering it. You understand it. You went back to your own experience with the Lord. And because you don't have that veil. But for those who, this is, but if our gospel is veiled, it is always going to be for those who are lost. The world is always trying to find the right way, and it will never find the right way because it would always deny God the Creator and Jesus the Savior. He says, but if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. And in their case, this is what's happening. The God of this age, which is Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers. To keep them from hearing the gospel. If the gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. And in their case, the god of this age, for being Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light. What? The light of what? The light of the gospel. Right? A lost person lives in darkness. The light is piercing. There's our banner. The light shines in darkness, and darkness cannot overcome it. Here it is. To keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. When you are sharing the gospel, the Holy Spirit is working through you. I will tell you this. When you are talking to someone about Christ, I'm telling you, darkness is in the vicinity. Trying to keep that veil on. Because once that veil goes away, and what do we read? What do we read? Back up here. Listen, back up here in verse 16. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. So it's going to be here in front of them until that veil is removed. I can't remove it. The church can't remove it. But only through Christ can that veil be removed. And behind that veil is the gospel. It is Jesus. It is eternal life. It is forgiveness. It is the names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's a whole lot of stuff that's behind that veil. And what is awesome about that veil is there is freedom. Freedom in Christ. And so this is the biggest battle. Satan, the dark side, wants to keep that veil in front. So this is why when you go back to Aunt June or Uncle Tom and you share that gospel, they just keep pushing you away. They keep pushing you away. But here it is. What did he say up here in verse 4:1? He said, we do not give up. We're not going to give up. Sometimes it takes 20 or 30 years for someone to come to Christ. But sometimes you're the only one advocating for them. Because we are very selfish people, even as believers. We think about ourselves and only our family. We need to be thinking about the whole world. And that's the part of the Holy Spirit speaking. Listen, it's not just about you. It's about I come from everybody. I didn't just come for your family. I come from the world. I come to save that which was lost. To redeem. And he says, listen, if they're not listening because of the gospel is veiled, it's because, here it is, because they're lost, and it's because darkness is trying to keep that veil from letting them see the light of the gospel. And then he says in verse 5, for we are not proclaiming ourselves, but Jesus Christ as the Lord and ourselves. I love that because he says, we are not proclaiming the church. We got a problem with lifting up the church so high. It is the Lord we need to lift up high. There is no one on the pinnacle. No one, no nothing, no organization, no denomination, no church or anything should be higher than Jesus Christ. No preacher, no pastor, no priest, no, nobody is higher than Jesus Christ. But if you read the Gospels, we see that there's a lot of priests and Sadducees and Pharisees that kept putting themselves over. Jesus would call them vipers. But Paul says, we are not proclaiming ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord in ourselves as your servants of Jesus' sake. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. What they're saying is we can't share. We only share Jesus Christ. We only share the Lord. And what do we do with that? It is because it's in our hearts. It's in our own hearts. That's why we share. And that's the only way we can share, to give the light to the knowledge to others and share it. But sometimes it really gets hard, doesn't it? It gets hard when you keep sharing, or you're in a church and you keep sharing. You wonder why your churches are struggling. I've talked to pastors who are struggling. We haven't seen the salvation for a while. We haven't seen a baptism for a while. Baptism doesn't save, but it glorifies the Lord, and it's an ordinance, the next step after salvation. But verse 7 says this, now we have this treasure in clay jars. That means it's inside of us. This isn't lab. My body's not going to last forever. It's a clay jar. It's going to break. It's going to fall apart. God didn't come to save the body. He came to save the person. You, your being. So that this extraordinary power made from God and is not from us. And there he says this, his ministry, he says this, we are afflicted every way, but we're not crushed. I'm going to tell you, most of us, when we do something and it falls apart, we get discouraged and we walk away and we put it down. But I want to tell you, when you start doing the things the Lord wants you to do, he's going to fill you up. Even in moments where you feel like you're crushed, it's not going to happen. He says, we are perplexed, but we're not despaired. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry the death of Jesus in our body, so that life of Christ may also be displayed in our body. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that Jesus' life may also be displayed in our mortal flesh. So, then death is at work in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith in keeping with what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak. For we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you. Indeed, everything is for your benefit, so that as grace extends through more and more people, it may cause thanksgiving to increase to the Lord of God. What does he say? Here it is. More and more people become saved. It glorifies the Lord. And he said, it's hard. It's hard because it's a battle. Listen, this is harder than building a business. This is harder than going out trying to get your education and get your master's or your doctor. This is harder than anything because this is not the flesh and blood. There's a spiritual battle going on here. The person in front of you that you're sharing the gospel, that you're living with, that's in your family, has a veil over them. They love you. They may be good. All those things. But until that veil is removed, no matter what, they can still consider to be lost. And Paul says, our ministry, we're going to go out and we're going to share this gospel. He says in verse 16, therefore we do not give up, even though the outer person is being destroyed and the inner person is being renewed every day. He says, the outside is falling apart, but inside I'm being renewed every day. Because here it is, the outside is getting older. I'm going to be 60 next year. Oh my gosh, I'm going to be 60. And I'll tell you, Kyle will continue to remind me that all the time. He's always messed with me with my age. But here it is. In the body, I'm falling apart. My body is falling apart. My back was hurting this morning. I'm falling apart inside. But being a believer, since I was the age of 12, here it is. I'm being renewed every day. And I'm a stronger believer today than I was at 12. I'm a stronger believer today than when I was 25, or when I was 35, or 45. Or 55. I'm being renewed every day, and my strength inside of me is growing every day. So what you see is a body that's shriveling and falling apart, but inside I'm mightier than I was before. It's because God continues to work. The Holy Spirit doesn't make me perfect, but that same thing is happening to you too. The same thing is happening to you too. So you're being renewed day by day for our momentary light affliction, the problems that we have. Here, he says it's producing for us an absolute incomparable eternal weight of glory. Basically, what we're going through is incomparable to the awesomeness that God has planned for us. So we do not focus on what is seen. That's a maturity as a believer. We don't focus on what is seen, but on what is unseen. So as the believer is sharing the gospel, he knows, I know why the person's not sharing the gospel right now. We can say, oh, it's because they like this lifestyle, they like that, they like this. Basically, what is it? It's because the veil is still there. The veil is still there. So we don't focus on what is seen, we focus on what is unseen. And that's when you would go into Ephesians chapter 6, where it talks about we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And so you grow in Christ, you begin to understand those spiritual battles. And he says, for what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You don't get there in your first moment of being a believer to be and understand what that really means. That comes over continuing to study, living out your life for Christ. The veil is off. You understand what the freedom is, and you begin to grow, and you grow, and you grow. But you're not growing to be selfish. You're growing to be all God wants you to be so you can learn more. And then opportunities to share the gospel. You're going to be able to share the gospel. And you're still going to be nervous at times. It doesn't mean it always goes away, because spiritual things are in the room. Spiritual beings are in the room. And darkness is there trying to keep that veil over. That is the law. That is the truth. That is the biggest battle in anyone's life, is when the veil, or if the veil is going to remain, or the veil is going to be removed. And the Bible says this. I always say, go back to the Bible. What does the Bible say? He says, but whenever a person turns to the Lord, then the veil is removed. It's not joining the church. It's not taking oaths. It's Jesus. It is Jesus. Everything else is added. It is Jesus. So what do we see here? A life that's walking around in the world with a veil, darkness, no light coming out. No wonder why the dark side, no wonder why Satan, no wonder why the demonic world does not want people to come to Christ, because when the veil is removed, they have Christ, the Holy Spirit shines, and the shine, now we got a shining peace, come walking around, light is now shining, more light is shining in the darkness. Instead of two people at work and know the Lord shining the light amongst 15 people, now there's four people shining the light. And another one comes to know the light. And there's a battle, there's a spiritual battle. So I don't want you to give up. He says it twice. We do not give up. Therefore, we do not give up. Because it's always easy to forgive. Always easy to get to a point where we say, well, they're just not going to come to Christ. I just don't see it. Don't go there. Christ can do all things. Luke 1:37 says, for there is nothing impossible with God. And I believe every salvation is an impossible task. Because it is, but it is not without Christ. Only in Christ can the veil be removed. So the question for you today is this. Is the veil removed in your own life? Your parents, even if your daddy's a pastor, can never remove that veil from your face and from your heart. The church membership cannot remove the veil. It must and only can be Jesus Christ. If you have that relationship with Christ, again, I will tell you, it's not about just knowing the Lord, not just about talking, it's not about having an emotion. It is, do you know? In your inner being, do you know that veil has been removed and you have the Holy Spirit in you because you have accepted Christ and believed in His salvation and received the gospel? If you have the veil removed, you have that salvation peace, well, praise God for you. Your goal is to continue to grow in maturity, walk the life that God's called you to live, and you will be renewed on a daily basis, and you'll continue to grow in your maturity in Christ. But if you have not had that veil removed, that means you're lost. You're still separated from God. There's a battle for your soul. There's a battle for you. Only Jesus can remove the veil. I'm going to take a moment here this morning to open up an altar. And people ask sometimes, why do you have altar calls? Why do you open up the altar? People have all kinds of reasons why and why not to. I just believe simply, why do we want to refuse anyone to come to the Lord? Why would we refuse anyone to come and kneel before Almighty God? If you share the word, which is the food, if we share the word like we just did, it is spiritual food. And then, so if we are given spiritual food through music and worship and through the word, then we sometimes need to do something with it. And the first step is sometimes to go before the Lord and get before Him and get honest again, get renewed in our spirit, and be reminded of the freedom that we have. And not to be selfish with our Christianity, but to share it. Father, Lord, we're getting ready to move into this part of our service. I pray, Father, Your will would be done. Open the hearts of those that need to be opened. And Lord, remove the hardness of the hearts that are here today that appear to be hard. No one can do that except You. We turn ourselves over to You in Christ's name. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand. So today you might have someone that you know that you love that need to come to the Lord, and you just kind of lost your fire and not sharing the gospel with them for a while because you've been turned down so many times. You know what? Renew that spark in your heart to give that name back to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to bring